So we have a, this is a familiar scenario in the Gospels where Jesus says some things, especially some things about who he is. And then promptly people begin to complain. Who does this guy think he is? Really, what's happening here? And they're looking at him. They go, we know your mom and dad. We know when you were a little kid. Who do you think you are to be saying all this stuff about you coming down from heaven and talking about the bread of heaven and all of these kind of things? Who do you think you are? And we, looking back, as we read the Gospels, as we know how the story went on, as many of us, if we've experienced Jesus, the living Jesus, in our lives now, we know that they're crazy. How could they not see it? What did they mean? You know, what were they grumbling about, really? But if we were there, if we were the people, I mean, imagine somebody that you know, that you've known since they were a kid, that you know their parents, that you know the trouble they got into when they were teenagers. And they suddenly start talking like this, saying, I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven. I've seen God. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Whatever else it is that Jesus is saying, I suspect that we would be like the grumbling crowd saying, what are you talking about? Who do you think you are? We've known you forever. We know your family. We know where you come from. And it's not heaven. It's Nazareth. And it's, you talk about your father. We know your father's name was Joseph, right? Like, so there's this disconnect, and they're grumbling and they're saying, we don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. And so then Jesus says, listen, stop your grumbling. Stop your complaining. Be quiet. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. This is the verse that I want to draw out for us this morning. I like how in the Message translation of the Bible it reads, Jesus said, don't bicker among yourselves about me. You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. The word that's used here in almost all the translations in English use the same word, that the Father draws them. They are drawn by the fire. That word is the same word that's used when they would talk about fishermen who had a big haul of fish that they had to haul into their boats that was loaded down, the nets that they had to haul into their boats. The same word, what we think about hauling that big heavy load of fish into the boat, is the same word here that's used when they're saying that the Father draws people to him. It's not some weak kind of word that just means, oh, we'll try and make everything look lovely and maybe you'll want to come over. No, it takes strength. It takes muscle. It's a hauling in. It's a saying, this is a person that I want to know me, so I'm going to haul them towards me. I'm going to draw them towards me. In my own story, I went to church my whole life. Growing up, our family, we had our family pew, the Poprosky pew. There were six of us. So we took up a whole pew. Those are like big wooden benches that many churches have in them. And we sat the second from the front on the right-hand side. That was the Poprosky pew. And we all sat there. And the older we got, the more embarrassed we were to sit in the Poprosky pew. But anyways, I went back to visit one time, and it had become the Debus pew. And I was a little horrified that somebody had taken. My mom and dad were the only ones still going. They didn't need to sit front and center of the church, right? But so I grew up going to church, and I grew up going to Sunday school and all of those kind of things. And then a day came, as it often does for those of us who grow up going to church, when I said, I'm done with this. I've had enough of this. I don't really believe any of this. I don't know what this is all about. It's not fun to go to church. I'd rather just hang out with my friends and do the things that teenagers do. And so I walked away from it all. And eventually, God drew me back. It's the only explanation I have for how I ended up back following Jesus. And it felt, I don't know how many of you have ever gone fishing. I don't like fishing, but I've gone fishing. And there's this thing you do when you go fishing if you catch a really energetic fish on your line. So you toss in your fishing pole and you hook a big energetic fish, maybe a small energetic fish, and they tug and they flip around and they dance and it becomes very hard to reel them in. So what you're supposed to do is actually let them go for a while, loosen up the line so that they can swim out, so that they can flop around, so that they can use up all their energy. And once their energy is used up, you reel them in, because then you can, they're finally relaxed enough that you can reel them in. For me, when I think about my story and I think about how God drew me to himself, That's exactly what it was like. It was like he had hooked me in my childhood. I had made a commitment to him. I didn't really understand what the commitment was, I don't think, but I had made a commitment to the best I was able. And then I decided enough, I don't want anything else to do with it. And I was like the fish, that there was no way I wanted to be reeled in. And God allowed me more line. He allowed me to go and go and go until I was so exhausted and so fed up and realized how miserable I was and how lousy I was at running my own life that I finally went, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you for real this time. Okay, God. And God drew me, reeled me back in, drew me back in, hauled me back into the boat. Whatever word you want to use with that. Now, I don't know what your story is. I know some of your stories, but I wonder if you've had experiences of being drawn by God. If there was a time in your life when maybe you were doubting, maybe there was a time in your life when you were wondering if anything was true, when you had nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And then there was this drawing that happened. We can make an intellectual decision. We can go, you know, I think that it would be a good thing to live the way that Jesus lived. And so I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to live as best as I can like Jesus did. But then there's another step where we're really drawn into a relationship with Jesus. When it stops becoming an academic exercise, when it stops becoming something that we are trying to do, and it starts becoming this extraordinary life-giving relationship with a God who loves us beyond our ability to comprehend, through Jesus Christ, who we start to discover died for us. And we start to experience the enormity of what Jesus did. We start to experience what it means to have eternal life, not just sometime down the road, but here in this life. A couple weeks ago, we're mentioning in John 10, where Jesus says that I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. We start to experience that. And all of that is, I think, God is drawing us in. He's hauling us out of the water into his boat. He's reeling us in, whatever kind of metaphors you need for that. And I think that there's incredible freedom in realizing what Jesus said. He said, it's my Father who draws people to me. He also said, everyone who's learned and who's heard and learned from the Father comes to me. People who've been taught by God and learned from God are the people who will go to Jesus. That's really weird to think about, right? I'm learning from God? No, I'm learning from my Sunday school teacher. Or no, I'm learning from this book. Or no, I'm learning from the preacher. Or no, I'm learning from this friend that I have. But learning from God. And there's a long history through the tradition of the prophets of the Old Testament talking about how God teaches God's people. It's part of, again, God drawing people into himself. There's such freedom in that. That we don't go to Jesus on our own. It's not all on me to go to Jesus. And here's where I also love this and why I really want to focus on this. Because I have people in my life, just like you have people in your life, who have not yet been drawn to Jesus, who you are longing to know Jesus, who you are longing to know the hope that comes from being in that extraordinary relationship with God. And we feel all of this pressure. I think, especially in evangelical circles, we put this pressure on ourselves. Well, if they don't come to Jesus, it's your fault because you didn't tell them the gospel. It's your fault because you screwed up in the way that you're living. It's your fault because you weren't persuasive enough. It's your fault because you didn't pray hard enough. Whatever it is, we put this pressure on ourselves. If you have a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, an aunt or an uncle, a niece or a nephew, a friend, anybody who hasn't come to Jesus, that you long to come to Jesus, we tend to hear this voice out there that's saying, it's your fault. You didn't evangelize hard enough. You didn't pray hard enough. And here we come to Jesus' words that says, no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. It doesn't say no one can come to the Father if you don't go get them. It doesn't say no one can come to the Father if you don't speak convincingly enough. No one comes to the Father, no one comes to me unless drawn by the Father. God draws people to Jesus. We don't go there on our own. The people we love, who we want to see believe in Jesus, they also won't go on their own just because we're so persuasive. They'll go because God has drawn them. Takes the pressure off, doesn't it? And then we think about, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I think about, there's these couple of verses in the book of Romans, which is a letter that was written. It's in the New Testament. And it reads this way: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how were they to call on one in whom they have not believed? How were they to believe in one of whom they've never heard? How were they to hear without someone to proclaim him?" So here on the one hand, we have Jesus saying, it's the Father who draws people to me. And then here we have the Apostle Paul saying, listen, how are they supposed to hear? How are they supposed to be saved? How are they supposed to believe unless you proclaim Jesus? Are they opposites? Are they a paradox? What are we supposed to do with that? Because all of a sudden I read Romans and I start feeling guilty again. I haven't proclaimed enough. I haven't talked enough. I haven't used the right words. I haven't prayed hard enough. Whatever it is. For me, the one who's on my heart is my niece, who is 17 and a half, heading off to university, and she has no church background, and she doesn't want to have a church background, and she knows what I do. She doesn't understand it, and she'll say to me sometimes, no offense, but I don't really believe all that stuff that you believe. I'll say, what do I believe? And she'll, I don't really know, but I don't believe it. And I pray for her, and I hope for her, and I long for her. And when I'm feeling weak and when Satan wants to get in there and tell me that I'm a lousy Christian, I start to go, oh, Elaine, if you could just be more persuasive, why haven't you shared the gospel? Why haven't you made her be a Christian yet? But Jesus said, no one comes to me except when they're drawn by the Father. And even though Paul says, how are they supposed to hear? How are they supposed to believe unless you proclaim him? It's still the Father who draws them. And here's how I think that works out. Evangelism is the big word we use. That's a word that just means sharing the good news about who Jesus is. Sharing the good news that through Jesus' death, through Jesus' resurrection, we have been freed from sin. We've been freed from the power of death in our lives, as we can follow Jesus right through the veil of death into eternal life with God. There's this good news. Evangelism is what that's about. It's about sharing that good news. Convincing people to believe in Jesus is the way we often think about it. It's about telling them. It's about showing them Jesus so that they recognize him when he shows up. It's not our job to convince people that Jesus was a real guy. It's not our job to convince people that Jesus was the Son of God. It's not our job to convince people that Jesus is the bread of life, because God, the Father, will draw people to Jesus. But if we don't talk about our faith, if we don't live our faith in a visible way, then maybe Jesus shows up. Maybe God draws someone to Jesus and they don't have a clue who he is. They don't know what to do with that because we've never said anything. See, the onus isn't on me to convince Natalia that she should become a Christian. It's not on me to convince her that God loves her. It's not on me to convince her that she should follow Jesus, that she should believe. God will do that. But if I'm not living in a way that looks like Jesus, if I'm not talking freely about who Jesus is and what I believe and why I believe it, then maybe Jesus will show up. Maybe God will draw her there and she'll go, nothing. Because she doesn't even know what to expect. She doesn't know who she's being drawn to. I think what we're called to do is make sure that when God does draw people to Jesus, they know what's happening. And maybe they have some trust in us, and they can trust, therefore, that they can take the risk to say yes to following Jesus when they're drawn to him. Because they see us, and they're like, okay, well, it's an okay thing then. It's also about praying for them. Praying is about It's about us being in relationship with God. It's about bringing our needs. We do this every Sunday, bringing our needs, bringing our lament, bringing our anger, bringing our thanksgiving, bringing it all to God. So why not also bring the people that we love, the people who we long to see know Jesus, the people who we long to be able to respond to Jesus when the Father draws them to him? Are we praying for them? Are we praying for them? Lord God, would you please draw Natalia to you? Lord God, would you please open up Natalia's heart so that she can receive Jesus when you do that? Are we praying for those people? We have a team of a small group that's called our Thriving Church Team. And it's a team that is working to make sure that we are a healthy, thriving church and that we are growing towards being a healthy, thriving, ongoing church. And one of the things that we met this week and one of the things that we were talking about was one of the questions we were asked was, are the people in your church praying for people to come to Jesus? And we had to go, we don't know, because we don't talk about that as a congregation. We don't know, because I know that I do, and I've talked with many of you and know that you do as well, and you have those same longings for people in your lives. But do we do that together? See, I don't think it's just about me talking to Natalia, me showing Natalia, me praying for Natalia. I think being part of a Christian community means I ask all of you to be praying for Natalia as well. Who is there in your life that you hope will know Jesus, that you want to be able to respond when God draws them to Jesus? I have an exercise for us to try this morning. I have just blank pieces of cardstock, pieces of paper. And what I'm going to invite you to do is take however many you want and write one name on each card of somebody that you are longing will know Jesus. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put all the cards in here. And then we're going to pass this around. And all of us are going to take out at least one card or more if you want more. Don't take the ones you put in there. Take somebody else's. And then put it on your fridge or on a door, on a mirror. Put it somewhere so you'll remember, so that then you're praying for that person. So I'll write Natalia, and hopefully one of you pulls that out of the bowl. And I know, hey, it's not just me who's praying for Natalia. I know that one of my brothers and sisters in my church family is praying for Natalia. Think about that in our own lives, right? You have a son or a daughter, a friend, a neighbor, a parent, somebody who you are longing will know Jesus. Let's pray for them together.